is from Revelation 2. Again, 32nd introduction to Revelation. Here's two words to summarize the book of Revelation. You ready? I'm not talking about all the end time views. We win. Isn't that great? That's good. We win because Jesus wins. And this time, when he comes back, he's not coming again humbly. He's coming again triumphantly. Isn't that good? That's encouraging, isn't it? So what he's doing in Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus, who's the head of the church, is going around and giving report cards to seven churches in chapter 7 and 3. Imagine getting a report card from Jesus Christ. And that's what he's doing. He's going to, this is the biggest church in Asia, about 250,000, kind of like New York size, New York City size. And listen, guess what? The whole congregation was in the sanctuary of fellowship hall, and this report card was being read out loud. I'm glad they never did that when I was growing up. Read my report card out. This is being read out loud, okay? So you got what's going on? Report card to this church. It's being read out loud. And here's what Jesus thinks of this church. Let us hear the living, inspired and inerrant, sufficient and authoritative word of Almighty God. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and have found them to be false. I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, but I have this against you. Wow. That you've abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. We told our kids we can't say that word. You may have, but Jesus says it. Wow. If Jesus says it, should we? You bet. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Lord, bless this reading and preaching of the word. May we take home one or two truths to strengthen us in our holy faith. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. There's no clock right there. That is not good. I can come over here and see that one. Wait, I heard the bell goes off at 11, right? That's a good sign. You're done, sir. I grew up in the suburbs of D.C., Maryland area. I loved my elementary school in Greenbelt, Maryland. Such fond memories. You know what they did? I don't know if they do this in your school, but sometimes they would, well, they don't do that now. This was before computers, okay? The teacher would send home an envelope and they say, now, Tommy, make sure this gets home to your parents and make sure they sign it. I found out very soon it was the dreaded report card. And this is before the days of computers and handwritten. So all the columns, imagine the categories. And my dreaded one I didn't like was cursive writing. Can you believe that was a subject? And here are the grades they gave. Not A, B, C, D, F, V, G, G, S, N, I, and U. Very good, good, satisfactory, and I. Ooh, needs improvement, and U, unsatisfactory. Listen, little Tommy Myers was ecstatic to get a VG. But he did not want to go home to Lesson Bar Myers with an N-I or a U. Here, as I said before, are these report cards that are going to the church. Imagine you're getting this report card. And who's given the Rome? Who's given the report card? The Roman emperor? No. The largest city, the community leaders are coming to their church and say, hey, here's the report card we're giving you. Who's judging the church? Who's looking at her and says, here's what you're doing good, here's what you're doing bad. How are we doing in your sight, Lord? Who's given it? Look with me. Verse 1. The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven gold lampstands, it's Jesus Christ. He's in the thick of the church. It's his bride, you see. He loves her. He gave himself for his bride, didn't he? And he's all about nourishing her and cherishing her and further sanctifying her. And so they're sitting there as they're listening to this report card. And if I were in that church, I'd be wondering, I don't know if you would, if members of this church would, but I'd say, hey, what does the Lord Jesus Christ really think about us? You ever thought of that? How are we doing in his opinion? Not our opinion, not in the leadership's opinion. How are we doing in the sight of Almighty God? For that is why the church at Ephesus was here, and that's why this church is here. We don't exist for us, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Amen. And it's for your name and renown that we exist at all. Oh, Jesus, what do you think of us? And so he always starts off positively, doesn't he? He's giving the church at Ephesus a lot of VG pluses. Let's look at some of these VG pluses. Verse 2. I know your works, your toil. Wow. They were a hard-working church. Wow, when you're in a church plant, you know all about hard work, don't you? You got to serve. And what he's doing, he says, listen, I know everybody in this church is serving. You know what the typical church is? The larger church gets, you know what happens? They usually follow the 20-80 rule, right? You ever been in a church like that? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Some churches, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. And Jesus is giving this church a shout out. Why? Because 100% of the people, everyone was involved in ministry. So what did the church at Ephesus know? They knew this, what we need to remember today. As soon as you become a member of a local church, what happens? You immediately become a functioning member. As soon as you become a Christian, you're all in, aren't you? There's no, I am a Christian, but I don't go to church. That's foreign. For centuries and centuries, that was, oh, when you become a Christian, you become a functioning member of a local church. And the church at Ephesus got it. They were hard working. And listen, when you're hard working and no one sees you, you need to remember this. Jesus sees and appreciates your hard work. Don't forget that, Christian. He really appreciates that when you're doing all that work. You're sitting in a nursery, no one sees you. You're doing all these ministries, you're cleaning up when no one sees you. Jesus sees you, and he's giving you a VG plus. He's giving you an A. Ah. On to the next VG plus. Look with me, I'm going to skip a little bit. Verse 2, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves an apostles and are not, and found to be false. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, and Jesus Christ says, which I also, what's the next word? Hate. Wow. What's going on here? False teachers were coming into the church. And Paul and John says, wait. As this letter goes out, he says, listen, I'm going to give this church a VG plus, an A plus. Why? Because you can't stand people who are not teaching the Word of God. You don't tolerate it. It's evil. Verse 6, wow, you hate false teaching. Wow. Do you hate false teaching? Do you? Yeah. Why is Jesus giving their second VG plus? They were intolerant. We hate wrong teaching. And that will not happen in our church, not on our watch. Wow. Listen, in 2025, I've been a minister for over 40 years, and in many of denominations, we get soft. We become like the world, don't we? And listen, in America, when tolerance is king and everyone's opinion is equal, is queen, it's hard to handle these strong words. But these strong words are there, my friends. These false teachers came, whether they said Jesus Christ plus this, equal your salvations, or verse 6, the Nicolaitans were saying, listen, you can be a Christian and you can be involved in the sexual morality that's going on down at the temples. And these guys says, no, we cannot. We belong to King Jesus. And he wants, once we become a Christian, what's the Holy Spirit's number one job for you? To become more and more holy like Jesus Christ. Amen. We're not going to stand for it. Hershey PCA, every sentence, every syllable that you hear, that you read from a man or woman on TV or online that's claiming to speak for Jesus Christ, what do? You quickly and carefully weigh it against. I like letters. And at our church in Atlanta, we call this Lisa. You call that Lisa? It looks like a Bible to me. Lisa, the living, I, the inspired and therefore inerrant, S, the sufficient. We don't need anything else. A, the authoritative Word of God. That's Lisa, my friends. So every time you hear any teaching, every time you hear what's going on out there, you weigh it against the Word of God. And listen, my friends, Jesus was giving this church an A+ because they were doing what Paul told the church in Corinthian to do. We destroy, we demolish arguments that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. Keep being a demolishing, destroying church, my friends, when it comes to anything that goes against the Word of God. And that's where this church was. Hard-working church, A+. Intolerant. They get an A+ for being a what? A hating church. You're not supposed to say that. I'm saying it because Jesus says it. I hate him. He's giving a thumbs up in verse 6. You hate it. Way to go, guys. He's not admonishing them. Don't say hate. Everyone's entitled to their position. No, you hate what I hate. Get an A+. And you know what? I'm looking at my phone. The first generation church plant. Paul planted this church. I don't know if you knew that. He spent about 2.5-3 years there. Imagine having the Apostle Paul for 2.5-3 years, and they rented a center, and for 4 to 5 hours a day, the Apostle Paul was teaching and preaching. He did a lot of dialogue evangelism. He did a lot of Francis Schaeffer LeBrie stuff and R.C. Sproul Ligonier stuff. But imagine I don't know who your favorite preachers are besides David Kirtland, and that's really good. Imagine you're listening to David Kirtland all the time, and I'll name some of my favorites, and you're listening to R.C. Sproul, and you're listening to Boyce, and you're listening to Ferguson, or you're listening to Keller, or you're listening to Kevin DeYoung, or my favorite preacher on planet Earth is now in heaven, Dr. Kinect. Ephesus was the most spoiled church theologically. And look what Paul says at the first leadership training retreat in Acts 20. Pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. I know, verse 29, that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing your own flock. And from your own selves, in your own church, in your own denomination, what's going to happen? Oh, you can trust denominations. Oh, yeah. They'll never make mistakes. From your own selves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. And listen, guess what? The elders at Ephesus were listening to Paul. And they go, Paul, Paul, Paul. Just take a chill pill, Pastor. We're the most theologically astute Reformed church in the world. And having false teachers step in our church, that'll never happen. That cannot happen. And they just shook their heads and go, Paul, come on, just relax. Did it happen? Yes or no? Look, watch this. I grew up a boxing fan, and if you lower your guard 1/100th of an inch, you could be knocked out. And the elders said, Paul, that will never happen to us. And they just kind of put their guard down a little bit as far as guarding the gate about what was being taught and preached in the church. And Paul's prophecy came true, and that's why he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy to this church. Because a lot of them got soft, and the false teachers and preachers were going wild at the church at Ephesus. Hershey, remain intolerant. Remain narrow-minded. Remain what the world will call bigoted. Keep your guard up. Some people ask me what I believe about something, and I like to talk to people a lot. I'm always talking to people, and sometimes they'll say, Pastor, what's your opinion about such and such? And I said, you know what? My opinion and $10 will get you a quarter cup of coffee at Starbucks. It's true. It's not about my opinion. It's about what this says. And so they lowered their guard, but this next generation of elders say, that's not going to happen on our watch. And then we're winding down. I'll believe it when I hear it, Pastor. The next point, listen, so you're getting this report card. You're all looking at each other. There might have been 1,000. It was probably the only church that they hadn't divided yet and had Second Presbyterian or First Baptist yet. They just had the one church. And there might have been 1,000 people at the church. And they're here, we just got 3 A pluses from Jesus. And they're kind of looking at each other, the elders and deacons, and they go, yeah, that's our evaluation we gave ourselves on our leadership training retreat. We're doing pretty good. And you know, there's a couple frozen chosen people in that church, right? Presbyterians didn't invent it. And you know, they never smile at anything. And they kind of, even the toughest stoical person gets a little smile on their face. Jesus Christ just gave us a 4.0 on what we're doing in the church. How many would be happy with that? Right? You know what? Some of them were picking up the ladies were picking up their purses and they were walking out. They thought the report card was over. Were they wrong? Verse 4. But I have this against you. You've abandoned the love you had at first. Wow. I'll tell you what I would have said. I said, Lord, whoa. You got the report cards all shuffled together. That's the other church down the street. You just gave us straight A's. It can't be our report card. And then maybe some of the godly leaders says, guys, this is Jesus Christ speaking. We need to swallow our pride. We know we're not sinless as a church. The Lord is admonishing us, rebuking us, correcting us. Lord, what do you have against us? Wow. Leaders of this church, you need to ask that all the time, don't you? Don't be satisfied with the straight A's you already got. Leave them the door. Pat yourself on the back. Enjoy the 3 A's, but that's not it. Hershey PCA and every other church represented here today, you need to constantly be asking yourselves, can the risen Lord Jesus Christ have anything against us? Can he? You bet he can. And so in humility, we come to Jesus Christ and say, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. What did Jesus Christ... Isn't that sad to hear Jesus Christ say he has something against you? That's so sad. What did they do? Now, in Greek, there were no emojis. I didn't know Greek or Hebrew too great, but I knew they didn't have that. And they'd often put a word at the beginning or the end of a sentence to emphasize it. And in the Greek, it says this, the love of the first you've left. Ouch. It can mean two things. Commentators are all over the place on this. It's a combination of both. It means you've left your love for Jesus Christ, or you left your love for one another. For the rest of my sermon, I'm kind of leaning towards they left their love for one another. Wow. Paul gives them a shout out in his letter to Ephesians. He says in Ephesians 1:15, we're not going to look at it. He says, I've heard about your faith and your love for all the saints. Listen, the first generation was a little soft on holding tight to Lisa, but you know what they were really great at? They were great lovers of one another. And Paul remembered, or John, the Apostle John, remember? He was one of the three who was the closest with Jesus. I believe when he heard this, he had a flashback to 50 years before, right before Jesus Christ went to the cross in the upper room. What did he say? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, so you also must one love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you know the Westminster Confession of Faith. Nope. Ouch. Do I know it and love it? Have I taught it for 30 years? Yes. How's the watching world, how's Hershey and Hummelstown and central Pennsylvania to know that we are followers of Jesus Christ? What did Jesus Christ say? He says this, listen, you listen to Christians talking about one another. You watch them interacting with one another. And you will be blown away by how they love each other. Amen. If you visited Ephesus Presbyterian Church, you felt the love of Jesus Christ. If you visited Ephesus Presbyterian Church and saw them interacting and saw them doing this and that throughout the week and heard them talk, you were blown away, as was said of many of the churches in the first century, see how they love one another. Isn't that awesome? How do we love people like that? That's tough, isn't it? Here's one thing I think we need to do. How do we know? We know and we feel the love of Christ. Do you remember when you first became a Christian? Do you remember feeling the love of Christ? Anybody? You remember feeling it? Oh, we've matured past feelings, Pastor. Oh, no, no. Not that touchy-feely stuff like you, Pastor. Yeah. And that's why they're being rebuked and admonished. Because they said this, watch. Look, our bulletin's this thick. Go to our website. We have so many ministries going on. We're persevering. We hate wrong truths. Loving others is kind of, well, if we have it, it's okay. But it's not necessary. Yes, it is. Remember that feeling when you first sensed the love of God? The Belgic Confession, one of my favorites, says this. It's a great quote. It's worth the price of admission today. Of Christ's intercession, there is no creature, either in heaven or on earth, who loves us more than Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? You need to remember that. You're here today. You need to remember that Jesus loves you. You know it here, but Paul prays in Ephesians 3:19 to this church, I'm praying that you'll know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Now, I'm not as smart as R.C. Sproul, but I know this. How can you know something that's beyond knowledge? What does he mean? I know you know the love of Christ here. You've known it for decades. But Paul goes, no, 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 no. I want you to know it here. Do you know the love of Christ in your heart? Can you feel it? And John did. John spent 3 years with him. Here he is in his mid-80s and he's still working on the island of Patmos. He's exiled for his faith. And what was the nickname John gave himself when he spent 3 years with Jesus Christ? You remember what it was? You can give a shout out. Anybody? What? Who? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Wow! Isn't that awesome? He spent 3 years with the lover of our souls. He saw Christ's compassion go out to everyone he saw. And it wasn't just for the people who were sick and the lame and the poor. We felt the love of Christ. I felt it so much. I had to give myself this nickname. I'm a disciple whom Jesus loved. The other guys might have got a little mad at him. Well, who do you think you are? Listen, if you're a Christian, that's a big if. But if you're a Christian, you are a disciple whom Jesus loved, okay? You need to know that this morning. And so, my friends, be Mr. Valiant for truth and be Mr. Big Heart. It's not an either or. Presbyterians tend to end on which air on which side. We're smart, we keep all this. Love is optional. No, it's not. Loving each other in this church is not optional. The greatest Christian I ever met, I had the privilege of marrying his daughter. The greatest preacher I've ever met, the greatest counselor I've ever heard, died at 94. He was the most loving man I've ever met. Well, that means get out of here. Okay, I'm wrapping it up. You guys warned me. He lived out John 13, 34 and 35. On his headstone, it says this: love you all the way to heaven. Isn't that awesome? He always said it. He lived it out. He was a disciple whom Jesus loved. And when you know the love of Christ that's beyond knowledge, you have this love for other people, you say. Hershey Presbyterian Church, may you desire to get an A+. May you desire to be the most loving church as you enter your new building. I would encourage you, if you have something against somebody, don't take that into your new building. Don't. Go to that person after the service. Ask for repentance. Reconcile with them. Reaffirm your love for them. The EP did Ephesus heed the warning? Guess what? They didn't. And guess what? Jesus will not be mocked. They may have still kept their buildings, but they thought love was optional. And guess what happened? Jesus withdrew his presence from the church at Ephesus because they thought love was optional. Ouch. Can that happen to us? You bet it can. Hershey PCA set as a goal to be the most loving church that you can be. Start a love revolution. You know, I'm an old man. I was raised during the Jesus Revolution. It was awesome. We want to see it again, don't we? You start a love revolution right here. To every church represented, aim to be a straight A+, VG+ church. A VG+, an A+, in serving and ministry. An A+ church in intolerance and hating the things that Jesus hates. An A+ church in handling the persecution when you when you make such commitments. And finally, an A+ church in loving one another. And so, in a few months, I want to hear the report about you all the way down to Hotlanta. And here's what I'm going to say. Hershey Prez. Now concerning brotherly love, You have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that is indeed what you were doing to all the brothers throughout central Pennsylvania. And if Christ is our model, when are we ever satisfied with how much we love each other? Never. And so Paul ends and says, but we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory. Amen and amen.